Moving to China now, the adoption program there grew out of a social experiment, really. It was an attempt to control population growth in what was then the world's most populous nation. The one-child policy, established in 1979, most Chinese families favored boys because they could grow up to support their parents. So girls were often abandoned. Many were sent to orphanage by the thousands. In 1992, China decided to solve that problem. They started allowing foreigners to adopt orphans, and at this point it's estimated more than 80,000 Chinese kids have been placed with adoptive families. But China today is very different from the nation of the early 90s, and the attitude towards Chinese children has changed as well. The Chinese government recently paid for 90 adopted Chinese children and their families to travel from the U.S. to the country of their birth on what's called a heritage tour. It's intended to be an opportunity for these children to learn more about their roots. And joining us now is one of the kids selected to make a heritage tour, 17-year-old Danielle Kakamis from Colorado. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you have to apply for this program? And tell me what the trip was like.
Yeah, we had to apply for the program. My mom was, and I were, and sister, of course, were incredibly happy that, you know, we were able to go. And the tour itself was really amazing because we got to go to so many places of China and see around where both my sister and I, you know, were adopted. It was really interesting.
Well, you must have had ideas about what your homeland was like. You'd never been before that. Did it turn out to be as you expected, or were there surprises?
I was surprised because China's gotten a lot more westernized than a lot of us, you know, in the States probably know at this point. And so when I actually got to China, I was surprised because it didn't feel quite as foreign as I thought. I had, you know, the concept of rice paddies, and I saw buildings that were fairly tall.
All right, so then when you got back to the U.S., back with your American family, was there a different sense to your adopted home?
Yeah, there was a different sense. I felt like I knew a lot more about China than I did before and felt really happy to know where I'd come from.
Danielle Kakamis joins us from Colorado. She was one of the first babies brought out of China and adopted in the United States and went on one of these heritage tours. Also with us, Patty Waldmeier, Shanghai correspondent for the Financial Times, and also mother of two adopted Chinese kids, speaking to us from Shanghai. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
First of all, I'm wondering, would you want one of these? I mean, assume your kids are with you there in Shanghai.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are. They're learning about Chinese rice paddies. Recently, we went and planted rice in one, so they still exist.
So your job is a heritage tour of its own for your kids. Is this heritage tour, as they're calling it, is that common now? Is this a new strategy on part of the Chinese government? Is this a one-off?
Oh, it's quite common. Actually, what has been happening is a lot of orphanages are having reunions. So the children are invited back to visit their orphanage to meet the people who looked after them. And those tours are extremely lavish. The children are just showered with gifts. We went on one a couple of years ago, and all the children had an absolutely great time.
Danielle Kakamis, you know, it seems to me that you have an amazing cultural window on China and the U.S.-China relationship. I mean, obviously, you understand the role of parenting in the U.S. from your own parents here in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sense that parenting is a different responsibility, a different sort of institution altogether over in China? What insights did you get? And I'm wondering if that was even possible for you to do.
I will say it was a lot harder on the heritage tour to get any insight about how people live, because everywhere we went was kind of sightseeing, and we didn't really interact with people very much. We did go to some person's home and looked around, but I didn't get much of a sense about what it was, any of the parenting was like. I didn't see a lot of people I could classify as parents.
Huh. Do you think there's some sensitivity about by the Chinese government there, Patty?
No, I don't think so. I think that what's really interesting is that why the Chinese would want to be impressing these children who were adopted and their parents. And initially, I thought it was some kind of a fundraising thing. But the more of these trips that I've been on, the more I see that it really has to do with Chinese pride and feeling, frankly, humiliated that they had to export 80,000, maybe 100,000 children all over the world, and also a genuine sense on some part to make it up to these kids and to also to show them that their homeland didn't really just throw them away, and that they're actually still valued members of Chinese society, more broadly speaking.
That's Patty Waldmeier, Shanghai correspondent for the Financial Times, and also the mother of two adopted Chinese children. Daniel Kakamas, let me put that directly to you. Did you get that sense on your trip that the nation of your birth was trying to make it up for you, to you?
Maybe not specifically. My mom and I talked about it a bit because, you know, every place we went was specifically for the point of trying to prove that, you know, China is a great country and that we were, I don't know how to put it, just like accepted into their community maybe. So I think what she's saying is pretty much it, but we didn't like specifically see too much of it, though I think that was probably most of the point of the tour.
Would you move back to China? Would you move to China, Danielle? Take a job there and move?
I don't really think so. We saw a lot of really cool places that were very modernized, very big cities, but I'm sure that life there is not quite as easy as it may have looked on the outside.
That's Danielle Kakamas, one of the first babies that was adopted out of China. She joins us from Colorado. Patty Waldmeier, Shanghai correspondent for the Financial Times. Do you think this represents perhaps a change in the adoption strategy that China? Is it going to become more and more difficult to adopt a Chinese baby at this point?
Well, China really is almost closed now for most normal adoptions of healthy babies. The wait is at least 5 years. It can be longer. Many people can't wait that long. The numbers have fallen dramatically. In 2005, there were 8,000 babies adopted to the U.S. from China, and by last year, that was less than half of that. And that is not because the Chinese are deliberately making it more difficult. It's that China is developing and becoming richer, and so there are just many fewer babies being abandoned, and there's a big shift in preference toward girls. So there are actually sometimes people are actually preferring girls now because they don't have to buy them an apartment when they get married or send them to college.
It is a big change in sociology, at least. That's Patty Waldmeier, Shanghai correspondent for the Financial Times, mother of two adopted Chinese kids, live and well in Shanghai. And Danielle Kakamas recently went on this heritage tour to see her nation of birth back in China. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.